she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies and I saved my
good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, where we dance in the studio while the theme song is playing. Hope you're dancing along as you're listening as well. Our hosts today, as they are every Saturday, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hello.
Colby Sapp.
Hello.
Hello, and I'm Sybil. Welcome, welcome. We're certainly glad you're listening. If you have a question, our phone number is 877-881-1053. Our Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. And Autoflex is open today for your business. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234 out of the area. As always, autoflex.com. You can also, if you want to read along with these stories or see a lot more in-depth automotive stories, you can go to the Autoflex Leasing Facebook page, like us, and you'll be able to read all these stories and a lot more that we post all week long. There is a standard for pickups, half-ton pickups. They're towing power. They have to be able to meet three separate kinds of tests and survive or surpass these performance standards.
This is a little bit like the fuel economy testing, right?
It's a lot like the fuel economy testing.
Okay.
So basically, it breaks it down in that a loaded pickup must be on a 12% grade, which is a rise of 12 feet over 100 feet, which is pretty darn steep, and it must climb about half a mile and be able to do that from a standstill within 5 minutes in forward and reverse. Now, that's a pretty simple thing. You load the pickup up, you put it on that grade, it's got to climb it within 5 minutes in forward or reverse. That's one test. Another test, the pickup, fully loaded, has 12 seconds to reach 30 miles per hour, has another 30 seconds to reach 60 miles.
0 to 30 in 12 seconds?
Exactly. And then 30 to 60 in 12 more seconds.
Okay.
And accelerate between 40 and 60 in less than 18 seconds, all at ground level, all fully loaded. That's the third one. Finally, the climb test. A vehicle fully loaded has to ascend 3,000 feet over 11.4 miles without dropping below 40 miles an hour.
And
that's
this,
the test.
This is the government-regulated.
Exactly.
Okay.
Guess how many pickup trucks actually do that?
Is it a percentage? 10%.
There's only one brand that actually does it. There's no other. Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler, or Ram now, won't do the tests and won't certify their trucks by it.
Not yet. They will.
Well, they haven't yet. Let's put it that way. Toyota's the only truck that is actually certified. And they've gone ahead and certified in that way. But the others are a little bit afraid to because they advertise towing capacity. When somebody wants a pickup truck, how much will it pull? What will it carry? And what do you see when you see those ads on TV?
You see them pulling cities across the country.
Yeah, you know, big. Well,
Toyota pulling the
space shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, across a bridge in Los Angeles. So,
right.
I mean, here are all these towing claims that are made, but the reality is, the big three are afraid to try to certify their trucks because if they don't make it, then they got a real problem. Now,
they all agree. Then they have to advertise the real towing capacity.
Exactly.
Of the truck.
They all agreed in 2009, all the manufacturers got together and said, hey, we're going to certify our trucks this way. We're going to all do it together. Guess what? That was for 2013. Guess who didn't? All but one of them.
Toyota's the only one that did.
Toyota's the only one that did.
But they helped also to write these regulations. They got together with the
manufacturers did.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Yeah. But again, it's an advertising thing because if they can't live up to it, it's a real problem.
Well, the really important thing is we as consumers are going to use that truck. If we need to tow something, usually we're kind of pushing those limits. I don't know if any of you agree with me when you've seen vehicles out there towing something. Have you ever wondered, is that safe? That looks a little overloaded.
Yes.
Yeah,
sure.
You see those trucks.
Once a day.
The whole back end is down on the tires.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure if something kind of went awry here that I want to be within 100 yards.
Well, if anybody asks the question to you, hey, can you think your truck can tow this for me? You're going to say yes because, you know, you're big man, and I've got a big man pickup.
That's who buys trucks.
Let's go get it, right? It can do it. My truck's awesome.
Yes, I can pull that building across the bridge.
Well, when you
darn right.
Actually, that Toyota commercial is darned impressive. Pulling the space shuttle, I mean, that's really impressive. The other one they did where they climb way up the deal and then the lever rolls and they go down the deal all with a big load behind them. You know, they climb way up a ramp and then and they go way down. That's very impressive stuff. I mean, for truck buyers. But now here's how it breaks down. Here's what they advertise. The half-ton Chevrolet pickup says that they can tow 4,800 pounds. The half-ton Ford says it can tow 7,900 pounds. The half-ton Nissan Titan says it can tow 7,400 pounds. The half-ton Ram, 6,450 pounds. And the Toyota Tundra, 8,600 pounds. And that's what they say they can do. The Toyota Tundra is the only one that's actually doing it, I guess you could say.
Or has been.
Or has been tested.
Fully tested.
So keep that in mind.
The important thing is you want to be able to stop and brake effectively, not just pull and haul, because everybody around you needs to be safe.
Exactly. That's why the part of the test is about stopping as well, because if you get it going, you got to stop it. Yeah, one thing too, and we'll talk about this later in the show, but this was absolutely amazing. When I was reading this week, I found out that police officers don't have to be sober everywhere.
What?
There are police departments. There are police departments where you can work with a blood alcohol level of over half the legal limit on the job.
0.05.
Now, I'm going to guess that that is not the case with DPD, but I know that we've got a lot of great police officers that listen to the show. So you could text in maybe to the Autoflex Leasing fan text 43733 and let us know if it is okay to be under the influence while you're working. But we'll talk about it later in the show. There are places where you can, the police officers can actually do that.
And we're going to tell you why.
Is that crazy?
Why that's allowed.
I don't know, but I'm considering doing a job in law enforcement now. Good times.
Good call.
Okay, back in the pickup realm, for the first time in 2014, for the first time since 1979, we're going to have a diesel half-ton pickup on the marketplace. The Dodge Ram is coming to the market with a diesel engine for their half-ton pickup, the Ram pickup in 2014, and they say it will deliver a highway mileage of somewhere around 30 miles per gallon on the highway. So that that makes it pretty cool. And it's a diesel, and diesels are pretty cool if you're a truck guy. So they're getting this engine from engine maker VM Motori, which is an Italian engine maker, not surprisingly, since you know Chrysler is now owned by Fiat. And they are going to bring that to market in 2014, and they will have the only diesel. And as you know, we said we're also going to see the Grand Cherokee with the diesel engine, and it's going to be that same diesel engine in 2014. So Chrysler will have two diesel-powered vehicles, light vehicles, on the road in 2014. The only other manufacturer I think that's going to be there is probably going to be Volkswagen with their diesel Jettas.
Could you still get regular gas if you want?
It won't run on regular gas.
But I mean, could you still get a model?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is, it's going to be a limited. It's going to be a limited. It's not going to be all the trucks. It's just going to be a limited release of some trucks. But it's sort of cool in that diesel burns cleaner now the way they've got it set up.
It's
and
extremely efficient.
Very
fuel
efficient.
Economy.
Tremendous torque. It pulls and hauls a lot better. So we'll see what happens with that.
And if they shift the taxes from one direction to another and get them off of diesel so heavy, then maybe it would be a more palatable price.
Mm-hmm. Autoflex Leasing fan text. I'm looking to buy a new Nissan Murano or a Grand Cherokee. Which one do you guys think is better in DFW?
Well, they're so different. I love the Nissan Murano. The Grand Cherokee's larger. You're going to have more capacity for storage in the back because you have more storage space behind that back row. So I think it's a depends on which one you like better and then whatever fits your budget better. But they're totally different vehicles.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, you'd have to drive those two cars side by side because they're just completely, completely different. I tend to like the Murano a little better. I'm really, really fond of the vehicle just because of the accoutrements, the way it works, how comfortable it is on the inside, the storage you get, the way the seats work. So I like the Murano. Just inherently, I like it better. But it's according to what you're trying to do and how many kids you got and what you're carrying around and if your dog's got to get in the back and, you know.
So forth. Yeah. There's not going to be space for dogs behind the back seat in the Nissan Murano. But nope. In that Grand Cherokee, there would be. And if you're interested in that new V6 turbo diesel, you'll get great fuel economy and have the brand new technology from Chrysler.
Autoflex Leasing fan text, my leaf springs broke over overloading my truck many times on my 94 Silverado. There you
have
it.
What does that cost to replace the leaf springs?
Yeah, I bet they're probably about $300-$400 bucks a side, if I'm guessing.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hello.
All right, where can I go to refinance my vehicle? I owe over $11,000. Got the vehicle back in November 2011. Does it make sense to refinance now due to low rates? Well, that depends on the interest rate you have now. But sure, you don't have all the costs involved in refinancing a vehicle that you might have involved in refinancing a house, for example. So if it's truly going to save you some money, go ahead and do it.
All right, and he asked where could he go. He could go to Autoflex Leasing, at least out if he would be able to...
Right here.
To find out at least if it would be good for him. You guys will crunch all the numbers in the Autoflex Leasing computer program, the Flex Lease system, and figure out whether or not that's going to suit you. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Colby, and me, Sybil. Our phone number is 877-881-1053. Our Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. And if you want to call Autoflex, maybe you are out car shopping today. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. If you're out car shopping out of the area, 888-234-1234. On your smartphone or tablet, pull over when you do that. Just go to autoflex.com and it'll work just fine, even without an app.
All right, let's go to the phones and talk to Ryan in Crossroads. Good morning, Ryan.
How you guys doing? Listen, real quick question for you guys. Like I was telling Sybil, I'm going out to buy a Ford Fusion 2010 SEL. Mm-hmm. And my question is, I'm putting $6,600 down on the vehicle, which is a hefty down payment. So
sure is.
What I wanted to know is, when I finance the rest of the money, my dad has perfect credit. We'll put it that way. And mine is, I got approved for about 10%. What's the difference between, me doing it for my credit and having a cosigner? I know it would drop the interest rate a little bit, but I'm wondering kind of how much, does it hurt me at all to do it with my dad versus by myself?
It will not hurt you to have a cosigner. It just means there are two people that are responsible for the loan. And if it does save you money on your interest rate, go for it. However, it will hinder your father's credit because it becomes a debt load on his credit line. Okay? So if he needs to go out and borrow more money later on, the debt that he has co-signed for you is counted against him. No matter, even my son's paying for that truck, but the new people that are going to make a new loan for him say, well, that's fine, but if your son doesn't pay it, you're responsible, therefore we have to deduct this $10,000 from your ability to borrow.
Right.
So there you go. So if he's not planning to buy anything and he's not stretched to the limits, you're fine.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah.
You ought to check our website out, by the way, at autoflex.com, because I believe we've got a couple of Ford Fusions. And I've got about 40 different financing sources. So I don't know that I'll be able to save you money, but we very well might be able to save you some. Just give it a shot and give them a call today and just ask them. You can do that on the phone and see what you could do with that also.
Absolutely. I appreciate the suggestion.
All righty.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Ryan.
And thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Okay. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, they're coming in now. I want to hear about the cop drinking thing. All right. Well, here we go. First Autoflex Leasing Fan Text about the cop drinking thing. I work for a small county near Waco. And I had a fellow officer go to a friend's house for a party on duty, drink a few beers, and get back on the streets.
To patrol.
The only disciplinary action that was taken was 1 week suspension. It's hard to respect an employer that would allow someone to get away with that. Wow. Yeah. I'm surprised. I'm surprised by that, just like I am surprised by the story, but there's the first Autoflex Leasing fan text about it. Hey, Travis in Dallas tried to hold for us, had to drop off the line. He was asking about the new Chevrolet SS sedan that's coming out,
mm-hmm.
and that's the car that they're going to premiere here this week at Daytona.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really cool deal. It's the first V8 they've put out since 1996. It's going to have paddle shifters. Definitely a performance car. It's got their new 6-speed automatic transmission with the paddle shifters. I haven't seen or driven one yet. They've got really good lines. If you want to see one quick and easy, watch the Daytona race because they're going to have one there.
There you go. Let's talk a little bit about Tesla and electric cars.
Yeah, this is a big story in the car business, and it's a big story sort of across the lines of the car business because it's about the new electric car Tesla and a writer for the New York Times. And the Times had tested the Tesla in California, and they gave it glowing reviews. So a writer from New York says, you know what? Since they've installed these two charging stations.
Supercharging stations.
Yeah, they're really quick ones. I should be able to drive from like Washington, D.C. to where I'm based to New York and back, New York City. Because there's two charging stations in between, and they're the super fast chargers, which means that you could get a full charge in 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
which is a little slow if it's compared to like 3 minutes to fill your car. But still, there's a restaurant by each charging station. You go in, you plug in for 30 minutes, and you drive on. So the basic story is this. He leaves Washington, D.C. He heads out the highway. He's driving. As he is three-quarters of the way to the first charging station, he notices that the charge level is falling faster than it should. But he makes it to the first charging station. So he calls Tesla, and they said, you know, watch your speed and be careful and see how you drive it and all that stuff. Okay. He gives it a full charge, the 30-minute charge, full charge, has some donuts and coffee, and he heads back out toward the second charging station. This time, it starts to lose power really quickly. Now, let me tell you, folks, it's 30 degrees outside.
Not here. Where they're doing it.
Yeah, it's almost 30 degrees outside here.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Anyway, when you cool down a battery, it loses charge faster. I don't care what kind of battery it is. So
anybody ever tried to start their car on a really cold morning?
Yeah, so anyway, he's driving this Tesla, and now it's starting to give him warning, telling him to turn stuff off. Guess what the first thing it tells him to turn off?
Heater.
Yeah, guess what? It's really cold outside. So now he's turned the heater off. He's driving this Tesla. Now it's telling him, warning, 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 the car's going to stop. And he finally gets to the charging station. He just barely makes it. So he charges again.
Talk about range anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the worst.
He charges again, and he decides to spend the night there because it was late in the evening by then. So
at the guest station or at the fuel station?
There's a little hotel there. So he stays the night, gets up the next morning. It's 10 degrees.
Oh, no.
He double checks the car. It's fully charged. He starts out. It should have been a trip that took three quarters of the tank. He barely made it to the charging station in New York, but he made it. Charges up in New York, gets ready to go. It's really cold again. Heads back, never makes it to the charging station.
Oh no!
Leaves him on the side of the road. They have to send a flatbed out. They try to put the car on the back of the flatbed. Since the battery's completely dead, the parking brake won't release. They try to jump the parking brake or jump the car enough to get the parking brake to release. They can't get that to happen. So then they have to drag this car up on the back.
It takes 45 minutes to drag it up on the back of the flatbed.
They put it on the flatbed. They take it to a charging station, and they load it up. I mean, they take it to a charging station,
mm-hmm.
and they charge the car up. Well, he writes this whole story up in the New York Times.
Right.
And he told it just like he said it happened. Elon Musk has now come back and said, none of that happened. He told the story inaccurately. That would not happen with our car.
Elon Musk is the manufacturer of the Tesla?
Elon Musk owns Tesla. He's the PayPal guy. He made all his money because he invented PayPal.
Smart.
So he has now come back and said, no, the Tesla's great, and that's not the situation, and they're crazy, and my car wouldn't do that. But let me tell you, folks, you get a battery really cold, it loses charge very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that may be a consideration for people that are considering. In fact, it is a consideration if you're buying one of these cars. I think if you live in Southern California, it's not a worry.
Right.
I think if you live in Connecticut, You got to think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weather is certainly a factor, and how far are you going to drive it? You've got to make sure that they have those energy charging stations everywhere you're going.
Well, you know, and the other thing I got when I read this story was I started thinking about it. Well, it takes 30 minutes at one of the superchargers to charge it up, and that doesn't really fit with most people's lifestyles.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going on an over-the-road trip, even if you're stopping for lunch somewhere, you're barely going to be there 30 minutes usually.
Right.
And so how many other people, how many charging stations are they going to have around this restaurant
yes.
you're eating at? Because if you got a bunch of people with electric cars, then that becomes a problem.
Well, I don't know about you, but everybody I've ever talked to, when they take a road trip, they always come back and boast how fast they made it.
Right.
You know, so.
Add on another.
I drove from here to Galveston in 3.5 hours.
Yep.
Oh, really?
So
it's actually 4 hours and 15 minutes if you are very focused.
See, he's one of those.
It's like a 6-hour drive. There's no way you can do it in 4 hours.
Four and 15, I'm telling you.
You must
See?
Have been
no,
moving.
No, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if this supercharger takes 30 minutes, is there a regular version of it that takes even longer?
A lot longer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes all night.
God.
On the regular version.
Yeah,
like it takes 6 to 8 hours,
at home,
like that.
You'd plug in your car just like you do your phone when you're
right.
at home and let it charge up.
And they do make the home chargers that charge overnight, and so it's just a little tower that sets you in your garage. You bring your car in, you plug it in, it charges. Again, you got to consider that the average income of the guy that gets this car is $140,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So he can afford the charging station, and it's right now they're more of a novelty than they are an essential or utility vehicle.
Right.
Okay. J.D. Power has just released their dependability study for the 2010 vehicles, because they're always 3 years behind. And what they do is they use 3 years of records to see which cars have had the most problems over the last 3 years. And Lexus, Porsche, Lincoln, Toyota, and Mercedes were on top for 2013.
For the least number of problems.
For the least number of problems, yeah. They were the most reliable cars out there. No real surprises here. Land Rover, Dodge, Mitsubishi, Jeep, and Volkswagen were at the bottom of the report.
Oh, there you go. There's your answer. Jeep was at the bottom. So I think you go Nissan.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, if you're looking for dependability for our Autoflex fan texter from earlier, I think that's the question right there. I don't want to be visiting the service department every 5 seconds.
Yeah, here's the thing. Even if it's under warranty, it's inconvenient.
Right.
Yes.
You know? And so in Land Rover, I mean, they're a fabulous looking vehicle. They're a fabulous vehicle. I love to drive them. They're cool. They got all that cool stuff on the inside. They break a lot. They do.
That's inconvenient to be without your car.
The interesting thing is we have great Land Rover customers that love that vehicle. And they
don't
just,
care.
They don't care. They plan on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the deal, you know? So anyway, it's interesting. 54% of the people that had almost no problems came back to the same manufacturer of car.
Mm.
That number drops all the way down to 41% when they have problems with the car in the first 3 years.
That is true.
Yeah. So it's a big deal.
And I can speak to that because our client base is, they return. You know, I have to say better, maybe 70% of our clients, they come back over and over and over again. So we get feedback. You know, if you had a Honda or a Chevy or the whatever Chrysler before, we hear all the problems, the pros and cons, and then they tell us what they want to drive next, or we help them find the solution for the next vehicle. You know who... The car that I think we do over and over and over is a Lexus. People get into a
yeah.
Lexus.
The most reliable car in this study was the 2010 Lexus RX 330. And the RX model was the most reliable because they just don't break, clearly.
But when it comes to trucks, I've also investigated that. When you look back at our clients' history and people, I have one guy that has driven 4 Toyota Tundras.
Yeah, they cost more, but they don't break.
Right.
Yeah. Here's the good news for everybody is the Detroit 3 did much better than they have historically.
Yay.
And they are all doing much better. All cars are doing much better. All the cars, of the cars that improved, Buick improved, Honda, Acura, Ram, Suzuki, Mazda, and Chevrolet, and they all finished above the industry average. So.
Did Ram have the greatest improvement of everybody?
No, but it did improve a lot. And all of them improved. So cars are just better now. Actually, Ram did improve most. I'm sorry.
On this list from J.D. Power, Land Rover's at the very bottom.
Yeah, it is.
But
yeah.
I will tell you, they have a lot of whiz-bang.
What is that?
Well, when you get in, they have more buttons and gadgets than any other vehicle that I've really noticed. If you get in a full-size Range Rover, they have too many buttons.
That was a whiz-bang you just heard.
Yeah.
That was. Yeah. Lexus and Porsche really, really were way ahead of the game. Then came in Lincoln, Toyota, Mercedes-Benz. Buick was right up there with them, and then Honda, Acura, Ram, and Suzuki. Suzuki, of course, is gone. It's good news if you're out looking for a car, because now, I mean, on the 2013s, they're going to be even better than these 2010 were. And if you're looking for a pre-owned car, you can get a 2010, 11, or 12 and know you're getting a good vehicle. One of the advantages we have at Autoflex is we lease all makes and models. So we don't really care, and we sell all makes and models, we don't really care what kind of car you get as long as you get a good car. And so that's what we try
and
to
get
have
it from
fun.
Us.
And get it from us.
No,
yeah.
That's right.
We care. Actually, we care enough that we want you to be satisfied with it. But we, you know, no skin off our nose which brand you choose, because we can help you with all of them. Mm-hmm. But going back to that question, Nissan had 138 problems reported versus Jeep having 178 problems.
Big difference.
Reported. So.
Yeah. Another Autoflex leasing fan text. I need to refinance my vehicle. I owe about $11,000. Got the vehicle back in November. Does it make sense to refinance now to low rates?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You can save some money.
Yep.
For sure. Let's see. My wife and I are having a baby. Yay. Congratulations. Make about $70,000 per year together. We drive a lot of miles. What car do you suggest we look at? Well, it kind of depends on what you're trying to accomplish budget-wise. You can look at just about anything. If you make $70,000 together, you can afford what your budget allows. So you have to tell me what you want to accomplish as far as budget. That's how we limit it down. So you want to probably drive a smaller SUV, I'm guessing, because you've got all the baby gear to go along with your life that's coming up.
Right.
And what I would do is suggest that you come in and maybe test drive several different models of vehicles together and figure out what you like the best.
If only there was a place where you could go and test drive all those different brands in
Autoflex,
one spot.
Autoflex.
Autoflex. Lease.
People,
oh, yeah.
Generally, when our clients call in, they give us a little bit more criteria. So I suggest you call, and you have an 817 number, so maybe you'll call our Arlington office at 817-234-1234. Tell them the features that you need, if you want leather, if you want a sunroof, if you want navigation, or if you want the basics. Mm-hmm. Give us a budget that you need to stay within, and then we'll help you figure out the cars that are going to fit. I think that's the best way to go.
All right, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive with David Blassengame, Tammy Pickard, Colby, and me, Sybil. If you want to call Autoflex today, David, what are the numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234 out of the area. Autoflex.com, if you want to do it the easy way, send us an email. Get a black book appraisal on your car at Autoflex.com. Set up a test drive for two or three different kinds of cars right there at Autoflex.com.
And if you want to send us an Autoflex Leasing fan text, that number is 43733. Or you can always call us 877-881-1053. Let's check in with Matt in Denton. Good morning, Matt. You're on with David, Tammy, and Sybil.
Good morning, guys. I'm wondering on that report. I'm in the market for a new diesel pickup. And I'm wondering on that report which of the big three, Dodge, Chevrolet, or Ford, did the best or has made the most improvements within their diesel or truck.
You know, Matt, I don't have the research on that. This was the story I did, and the story I researched was only on the 2004 half-ton Ram. And it's because it's the first half-ton that's had a diesel offered in many, many years since 78. So that was the big news with that, was it was the first half-ton. As you know, everything else is three-quarter ton and above that has a diesel. And so I know that the new Ford diesel, I've got a lot of happy customers with them.
And I do want to say, if you want to know a little bit more about that, if you called our office, we have some truck specialists. We have some people that do a whole lot of that leasing business. KJ Gimble, he's in our commercial department, and he does lots of stuff for the oil fields and things like that. And he might have some information for you that way, and you could reach him on Monday.
All right. Thank you.
At 972-234-1234.
Ask for KJ.
We
Thanks,
have specialists
Matt.
For everything.
That's
so
right.
Call us if you want to know. David and I don't know it all.
Let's check in with Leroy in Dallas.
Okay,
good morning, Leroy.
Good morning.
Hey.
I have a Dodge Charger. You know, my family got bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, an SUV that has three rows of seating.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't want a V8. I don't want to out the window.
Okay.
I don't want to get no tire or nothing like that. My buddies are struggling with those payments right now. I ain't talking about the window right now.
Well, I like the Honda Pilot. I like the Nissan Pathfinder that has the three rows of seats. Those are a couple of options.
Dodge Journey?
Well, look, the new Dodge Durango.
Yeah, that's nice, too. Yep. You like that one? You could do is call our office and come in and arrange a multi-car test drive so that you can see which vehicle is going to fit your family the best.
Okay, I stay in Duncanville. So which number should I call?
Well,
I'd call 817-234-1234 because they're a straight shot down 20 for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah. Leroy, if you have kids in car seats or anything, you can always bring those and find out which car they're actually going to fit best in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Bring everything that you need to stick in that vehicle, and then that's how you do it.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks, Leroy.
So that is something, ladies and gentlemen that are listening today, we do this for everyone. We tell you to bring all your gear, your car seats, your children, your dogs, whatever.
Golf clubs.
Bring it all. And that way you can see how it's really going to work. And if you want to compare several brands, it's the most convenient way to do it. Why would you do it any other way? Otherwise, you're going to be driving from one dealer to the next, spend several hours with them negotiating, trying to figure out what your payment is going to be on that particular brand. Then you want to go compare the next one. You got to go and spend some time with them and do it all over again. Or you can just call Autoflex, set it up here. We make it simple.
Okay, Autoflex Leasing Fantex. This is interesting. I understand that Tesla sells a lot of cars in Norway and Switzerland. I'm pretty sure it gets cold in those two places, colder there than it does in New York. Well, you know, when I looked online, I did find out a lot of people in Norway and Switzerland were waiting on Teslas, but they were pretty unhappy about the fact that the wait was so long. They'd given deposits, and a lot of them, the checks hadn't even been cashed. The other thing I did notice was in one of them, he said, be sure and get the big battery, the 85 battery, because if you don't, 85 kilowatt, these cars lose a lot of power when it gets really cold. So I guess that verifies what the writer from the New York Times said.
Well, and they have also since developed a mobile app to condition the battery ahead of time to warm it up before you ever go out to start on your journey.
Yeah, and at the time the driver did that test, they did not have that app. The only way you could do that was to actually sit in the car with the key on without the heater being on, which didn't work well.
Here's a good Autoflex fan text. Are there ever any lease-to-own options? I like the idea of leasing, but I'm afraid I would get way too attached to the car, and at a certain point, would it make sense to buy? Doug in Dallas, absolutely. I did that with my last leased vehicle. I leased it for 4 years, liked it, had low miles, so I bought it, kept it for almost 10. Absolutely can do that.
It's sort of like having a double option because you don't have to actually buy the car. You lease the car. You drive it for a while. If you just love it, then you buy it and you keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And you saved enough to buy it over the term of the lease.
Right. Oh, by the way, yeah, take the extra money that you're saving from your lease payment. So if your lease payment is $150 a month less than the purchase, you should really put that in a bank account. You know, save that money.
Or send it to David at Autoflex.
Or that.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah.
But then you'll have a nice down payment on something else in the future if you don't keep that car, right? The other option is something to think about is during that lease period, if something happens to the vehicle and maybe they run into you on Central Expressway and cause $5,000 worth of damage, you can give the vehicle back to the bank because now the value of the car is diminished and maybe you don't want to drive a wrecked car for 10 years.
Okay, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text from Loco. You need a Chevy van, Loco. That's what all the songs say. And good morning, Skillet.
Also, Leroy had called in. He said he needed an SUV that would seat three rows of seating for his family. One of our Autoflex Leasing fan texts said he should look at the GMC Acadia because they love theirs.
That's actually a great car. I love that car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard to think about all the different cars. So many good cars out there right now.
And what we'll do for him when he calls, we'll discuss the budget that he wants to stay within and then select those vehicles that will fit his budget so he doesn't have to waste his time looking at, you know, a Land Rover. It's a $100,000 car,
right?
And then a Ford Escape.
And the other thing is, we can adjust term also.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, sometimes term is more. I mean, the payment is more important than the time you plan on keeping the car. So we can always adjust the term to help the payment.
We're very flexible, hence the name AutoFlex Leasing.
That's right. Okay, we've been, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive. And when we come back, we are going to talk about officers drinking on the job. So stay tuned. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Colby Sapp, and me, Sybil. Let's get right to it, because we asked the question, what do you think if you found out officers are allowed to drink on the job in some places?
Well, and it's an interesting story, because there's a whole lot of places, and I'm amazed that we haven't heard from Dallas PD, because I don't think they have any tolerance on this. But I would have thought, I mean, I used to be a police officer many, many years ago, but there was certainly a zero tolerance to having alcohol in your system when you worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to say that they're supposed to be allowed to drink on the job. But what they're saying is you're allowed a blood alcohol content of up to 0.05.
Which is sort of crazy. And when they tried to rationalize or justify it, they said, well, maybe the officer had wine with dinner and then had to work 11 to 7. Well,
I'm out on that.
Now, here's the deal. I used to work 11 to 7. I was a police officer. The deal was you didn't have wine with dinner.
Right.
I mean, that was...
Any
first
more
of all,
than our airline pilot is supposed to have wine with dinner before he goes
exactly
to fly us from here to L.A.
Exactly. So, first of all, the most basic thing is the way you spot someone that's DUI is you can smell alcohol. So,
if hey, is that me or is that you?
But if you're the one that's been drinking, how do you know who you're smelling?
It's
a problem. Then the next thing, maybe you're in a foot chase and the guy spins around and you see something in his hand. Is it a gun? Because if it is, you're going to shoot him.
Mm-hmm. Or is it just a cell phone?
Exactly. If you're impaired, how do you know? So I started doing some research, and this all came out of Illinois. That's where the story came from. And there are cities within Illinois that you can have up to a 0.05 blood alcohol content and be okay, which is just crazy. Now, for what it's worth, Chicago... They limit theirs, the Chicago Police Department, to 0.02. They allow 0.02, which is probably, I guess, nil, but at the same time, you shouldn't have any. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think in doing that job, just like our fan texter texted in, they need to be held to a higher standard. I mean, that's not part of the job. Drinking is not. The other thing I found in common was all of the cities that had the ability to have blood alcohol had police unions. And so the unions had negotiated that in the contract with the cities. Again, Dallas PD, oh, finally, here we go. Dallas PD allows no drinking on the job. Only Vice can drink when they are working in clubs.
Interesting.
Colby? Vice? Is
that I'm down. Let's do this.
Okay.
I don't know what I would have guessed. Maybe they're just supposed to look like they're drinking. I can't imagine the Vice should be drinking.
No, I think that Dallas PD is a very regimented, very tightly run police department, and they are good guys. That would make perfect sense. I think I was just amazed by the story that there were police departments that would allow police officers to have a high blood hour,
any.
But half is definitely, I mean, all the research that you do and when you read about it, when I read about it, said that 0.05, you were definitely impaired.
Well, I'm curious, could this still be, like, related to whatever they partied the night before?
That's what I was wondering, too.
And they didn't come in till 2:30, mm-hmm. and they drank clear up till that point. Then they pass out, and they've got to be at work at 7
a.m. Yeah.
Well, then they're going to have a blood alcohol content of something.
So maybe that's why. How long does it take to get all that out of your system?
Oh, I think it takes longer than that. I think it's 24 hours or something.
That might have been the premise, but then it kind of changes it and pushes it a whole bunch of different directions. The thing is, there are a lot of people that probably have a little drink when they're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm. There's just certain jobs where you shouldn't do it, though. And if you're carrying a gun, you probably shouldn't.
I 100% agree with you.
Or if you're driving a car, you probably shouldn't.
And related to
radio,
this story,
maybe you can do it a little every once in a while.
Well, and there was a city that paid $4.1 million settlement. Oh, it was the Chicago Police Department.
Yeah.
They set their blood alcohol limit at 0.02 because this week the city of Chicago agreed to pay $4.1 million to a family of a man shot by a police officer who reportedly had been drinking prior to his shift.
There you have it. Okay.
And that $4.1 million is paid by those residents.
Yeah, the taxpayers.
Of Illinois.
Right.
The EPA is going to start testing more cars. You know, they found Kia and Hyundai were not able to substantiate the mileage that they said their cars would drive. Now Ford is in the midst of a lawsuit with their new transit vehicle that's supposed to get, the transit hybrid, supposed to get 47 miles per gallon on the highway. There's a guy in California that has sued Ford because his transit does not get 47 miles per gallon on the highway. And the EPA, and we talked about this on a show probably a year or two ago, how few people actually test these cars and how few cars are actually tested. Because up until now, the EPA has depended on the manufacturers to be accurate and to honest in the numbers that they reflect that the cars actually get as far as MPG. The reality, as we know, is those cars, I mean, the cars that I have driven get anywhere from 10 to 20%, some of them 20% lower than the window sticker says they get. And people really, I think, depend a lot on that when they get a car. The window stickers we have now have become very complicated because they tried to do everything in the world and put it on that window sticker so everybody could compare everything every way they wanted to. It would really be just really nice to have a realistic value of how many miles per gallon the vehicle gets. People's driving affects it. Temperature affects it. Certainly with hybrids, the way people drive affects it. And the amount of city and highway driving
affects
it.
Well, and how much weight is in the car. Are they testing, if they're testing these cars on a dynamometer and they have no passengers.
It's exactly
no
right.
No golf clubs. Right. No random junk in the trunk of your vehicle, like we all do.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not going to get the same fuel economy. So I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but my sister loads the trunk of her car with all kinds of random nonsense that she...
Just in case?
I don't know. I think it's everything she didn't want in her house. And she thinks she's going to get rid of it, but she's been driving around with it in her trunk for a while.
Uh-huh. If she listens to the show, it's going to be really interesting long
she's
about
not even
Thanksgiving.
Up. She's not even
I'm
up.
Just saying.
And she knows it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's funny.
Okay, we've got another state that's investigating driverless vehicles. Michigan now has legislation in place to legitimize driverless vehicles on the roads of Michigan. That would make them the fourth state, along with California, Florida, and Nevada, to have provisions for vehicles driving themselves down the road. We've talked about that a lot on previous shows. It's certainly something. There's another part of that, too. The government is about to sell off a big block of bandwidth that the manufacturers had planned on using on these driverless vehicles to communicate with each other and to communicate with, like, red lights and to communicate with emergency vehicles and things. And the federal government is about to sell off a big block of the bandwidth that had been dedicated to that. So the manufacturers are sort of up in the air as to what they're going to do about it because they need bandwidth. They need to be able to have a separate portion of radio waves to use for this communication, and it looks like the FTC is going to sell that off to the big broadcasters. So,
who then will sell it back.
At an increased price. That's a whole nother story.
Mm.
Anyway, it's sort of interesting, though, that we now have four states that would approve driverless cars, and probably another 20 or 30 states where driverless cars would be a big improvement.
Got an Autoflex Leasing fan text here that says, I really like the Dodge Dart, but I'm considering downsizing to a compact car. What do you guys think of that?
They got great commercials. I love their commercials.
The Dodge Dart?
Yeah, I haven't driven one. Don't know one. There's a lot of great cars out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell him that he should look at Mazda, Toyota, Honda. I think Mazda, Toyota, Honda to begin with.
J.D. Power Vehicle Dependability Study puts Dodge just above Land Rover.
There you go.
Oh, so at the bottom of the list. One more quickie. What do you guys think of the 2014 Kia Sorento? Love, Tim.
It's below. I think it's a nice enough brand of car, but Kia is not in the top either as far as dependability. And
it's a good-looking car.
And I'm just going to go with they haven't made the strides that Hyundai has made, so I'm still not the biggest fan.
Gotcha.
And there's a lot of alternatives to the Sorento out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? Give one of the offices a call at Autoflex. Tell them you're looking at that car. Ask them for suggestions. Same size car, same performance car, and they'll have three or four other cars, and we'll set them all side by side, and then you make a choice.
We sell vehicles, too. We don't just lease vehicles, and your overall cost of the car isn't just what you pay for it up front. It's what you can sell it for later, right?
And she's talking about, like, buying a pre-owned and saving a ton of money up front,
right,
and then still having a car that's got strong resale value, which is really the least expensive way. If you're going to buy a car, buy it pre-owned, drive it and then sell it, and get a good car that's got strong resale value.
So if you want to call AutoFlex, the numbers are 817 or 972-234-1234. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. In the meantime, you can also log on to AutoFlex.com. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in